I'm so glad I wore my Yankee hat tonight, making Pastor proud. So tonight, I'm just going to start reading until he gets out here. Is that all right with y'all? Pretty sure this book's pretty solid, so some would say rock solid.
Rock solid.
It's a little rock solid joke for you. Anyway, so I'm just going to start reading the introduction. It is so important that we do not mix up the different types of gifts given to us from the Father. The last chapter dealt with motivational gifts, but this chapter is going to be dealing with the supernatural gifts that are given to the church for edifying and building up. These are not natural gifts that can be man-dictated, but supernaturally given by God to his body, the church. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accused, accursed. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of the healing by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing them to each one individually as he wills. Later on in 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So desire spiritual gifts. The word desire means to burn with zeal. Paul is letting us know that we should be passionately seeking the spiritual gifts, that we should burn with the desire to be used by God in these gifts that he provided for the body. This is not just for a few, but for the whole. In 1 Corinthians 12:1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Paul not only wants and instructs us to passionately desire the gifts, but he was also clear that he wants us to understand them and how they work. Ignorance is not bliss, and the church is large at large is ignorant of the gifts. We look back at verses 4 and 6, when he's talking about the diversity of gifts and the diversity of the activities, but the same God and the same Spirit. These verses talk about the differences and diversities of the gifts. Wow, I said it without even reading it. I'm really good at that. The words are the same in the Greek language. Distinction, difference. In a particular, a distinction arising from a different distribution to different persons. The differences and diversities in these realms listed below. Gifts. The gift of divine grace. Administration. Of those who by the command of God proclaim and promote religion among men. Of the offices of Moses, of the office of the apostles and its administration, of the office of prophets and evangelists, elders, etc. The gifts are different, nine of them, there's nine gifts of the Spirit. The administration is different and the operations are different, but the purpose is found in verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The gifts divided into groupings. The gifts of the Spirit are best understood and remembered if they are grouped into three categories. The knowledge gifts, words of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. The verbal gifts, the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. The power gifts, the gifts of faith, the gifts of healing, and the workings of miracles. The purpose of the gifts. Pastor Mike has watched the gifts of the Spirit be abused for so many years that he understood why some are so gun-shy. He remembers preaching in New Hampshire, and just seconds before he was about to preach, a woman jumped up and started speaking loudly in tongues. Of course, the place was quiet, and everyone was waiting for the interpretation. She brought the interpretation. There was a man in the middle section of the church that God is rebuking for not being honest, and that if he does not repent and make those things right, then judgment was coming for him. It did not sit well in his spirit, and later he questioned the leaders. She had the man working for her, and she felt that he was doing her wrong, so he went into gift mode to try and make him do what she wanted. So that is not a correct way use of these gifts of the Spirit. Another good example is when he was preaching in Long Island. He had a woman receive a powerful miracle. She was disabled from birth. She was never able to move her right elbow. It was in a frozen state. Jesus healed her. She was able to raise both arms to the Lord for the first time in over 60 years. She started shouting and dancing around in front of the sanctuary. The anointing was thick and the surging as others joined it with her celebration, giving Jesus all the glory. From the back of the sanctuary, a booming voice came with a word of prophecy. The Lord is not pleased with you shouting and dancing in his house. You are in the flesh. Oh my, it was just like a wet blanket thrown over the anointing, and it was lifted. I said to the pastor, how are you going to handle this? Are you going to handle it, or am I? He was the one in the flesh, the guy claiming that they were in the flesh for dancing and praising God for the healing. And he drove out the anointing of the Spirit with his word from God of condemnation over celebration. It is important to remember that you never throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just because some abuse the gifts does not mean you should get rid of them. Do them correctly, and they will always be a blessing, not a curse. So now we're going to get into each gift specifically. The knowledge of gifts. The word of wisdom. It is a bit of information of the future or someone or something. It is also supernatural. God giving wisdom for a situation that will bring an answer that cannot come from man's wisdom. The word bit is important because it's rarely fullness of revelation, just a portion of information. 1 Corinthians 2:7, but rather what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God once hidden from the human understanding and now revealed to us by God. That wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages of our glorification to lift us into the glory of his presence. 1 Corinthians 1:25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Jesus used the word of wisdom when he was revealing his death and resurrection. In John 2, verse 19, Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. So that's part of the revelation, but not the whole thing. He's not coming out and saying, hey, I'm going to die and rise in 3 days. He said, the temple will be destroyed, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Jesus also used this gift concerning the destruction of Jerusalem. Matthew 24, verse 2, and Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Or surely I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Jesus used the gift when revealing about the last days. If you turn to Matthew 24, 3 through 31, which I don't know from memory. One moment. Therefore, whatever they tell you to deserve, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do not to be seen by men. They make their something broad and enlarge their borders of their garments. They love the best places at the feasts and the best seats of the synagogues, greeting in the marketplaces and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father. He who is in the heaven, and do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, that Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So we don't need to read the rest of it, but he's describing end times, how people will act, the Pharisees and hypocrites, and how we should act as Christians, as servants. Next point is, Agabus was used in this gift to tell Paul what will be happening to him when he went to Israel. In Acts 21:11, when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So his man, Agabus, used the gift to tell Paul that he was about to be captured when he went to Jerusalem. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 and 4, Paul uses the gift, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself of all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. How's it going? Solomon used the word wisdom to validate the true mother of the dead and live child in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 23 through 27. And the king said, The one says, this is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one. And the other says, no, but your son is dead, and my son is living. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword to the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king. She yearned with compassion for his son and said, oh, my lord, let her, the living child, and by no means kill him. But the other said, let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him. So the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child. By no means kill him. She is his mother. So that's an example of not having the full revelation. He didn't know which mother had the live child, but he was given the wisdom to figure it out, if that makes sense. How the gifts are revealed. All gifts are revealed through the spiritual senses of the person. In the natural, we have five senses: smell, sight, touch, taste, and hearing. In the spirit, we have six senses: sight in the spirit through visions or dreams or trances, smell in the spirit.
Is he boring?
Well, hello.
Is he boring? Is that a poem you see?
Nobody even.
Dear God, Paul Busey, how are you?
Where are you?
I'm into the explanation of the gifts.
Are you just like reading it?
A little explanation, but mostly just reading it.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah. Did he do good?
I think it was 9.
Did he whine, though? That's the question.
No.
Before they turned the fan.
He's in the room, and I said, here, I'll be right out. You shaved?
Nope. Can't tell.
Nope. Okay, praise the Lord. So supernatural gifts. Everybody say this with me. There are 9 gifts.
9 gifts.
Say 9. They're created in 3 groups. Ready? Power gifts, knowledge gifts, and what is it? What is it? Verbal gifts. Very good. Go, Paul. How many times have you been through Rock Solid Faith, Paul? Yeah. Here we go. So say it with me. Power, knowledge, verbal. All the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit are broken into these 3 sections, and they are coagulated in 3s. So what we have is we have the knowledge gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Then you have your power gifts, and that is the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts. You'll hear that is plural. Of healing. And then you have your verbal gifts, which is tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Okay? So these are the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Thank you. Now that was a good armor bearer right there. Did you see that? He wanted to keep me looking good. So here we go. Ready? Say this with me. The word of, you got it, I gotta say it right. The word of wisdom. The word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. So word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Here we go. Word of, discerning of, word of, word of, discerning of, word of, word of, discerning of. Discerning of, wow, that was good. Word of, you muttered on that one, so you didn't have that. You know, keep with the program, young lady. So here we are. These are the knowledge gifts. And knowledge gifts are very powerful because the knowledge gifts gives you the ability to know things that you cannot know in any other way besides God revealing them to you. Okay, so these are not natural gifts. These are supernatural gifts. And as supernatural gifts, it's important that we recognize that you can't earn these. How many of you are born again? Not everybody. Let's have a prayer. Jesus breaks every... If you're born again, who lives inside of you? The Holy Spirit. Who's the giver of the gifts? Come on. Who's the giver of the gifts? So if the giver of the gifts is dwelling inside of you, and he is the one who gives the gifts as he wills, how many gifts of the Spirit dwell inside of you? All of them. This is important because this means God wants to use you in different scenarios, different elements, different atmospheres, and you won't be used the same way every time. But God is going to give you one of these nine to help somebody and also confirm that God is good. So you and I, every one of us in this room, have all nine of these gifts. A lot of times what we do is we wait for the evangelist to swoop into town or the preacher to move by his power. Hallelujah! But the truth is that every one of us have the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead, Romans chapter 8. Every one of us have the same God that Jesus submitted to, that Jesus was used by. Every one of us have the same Holy Spirit inside of us that Paul was used by. And it's important that we recognize that God doesn't want to use us any less than he used them. But we've made these gifts spooky. Woo! Banana. Oh, no, that was the gun smoke one. Okay, sorry. We've made these spooky. The gifts of the Spirit are not spooky. The gifts of the Spirit are normal. Turn to someone and say, the supernatural is normal. Say it again, the supernatural is normal. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, that we are to desire spiritual gifts. The word desire there means lust after. Challenge in today's church world is a lot of churches are abandoning the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Not a few of them, the majority of them. In fact, there is an actual denomination. They teach a principle called Calvinism that actually say that all the gifts of the Spirit stopped with the first century church. That miracles and signs and wonders all stopped with the first century church. That they're not for today. The problem with that is that we need them more today than they needed them then. And we need more people being moving in the power of God. And that's why Jesus said in John chapter 14, greater work shall you do because I go to the Father. So these supernatural gifts, God is telling us, we need to lust after them. What does it mean to lust? Hubba, hubba, hubba. Yeah, strong. You know, when we start talking about lust, we're usually thinking sexual. And really, it's about the same drive. It's really what the word means. You know, when you see a girl and or you see a guy and you want them, you start getting a little obsessed with them. You start thinking about them all the time. You're waking, thinking about them. You're thinking about them at night. And then you're thinking about them in ways you shouldn't be thinking about them. That's called lust. Lust is a driving force. Sadly enough, because the church has not been teaching properly, the body of Christ is not lusting after spiritual gifts. What we're doing is we're just waiting for the show. We're waiting for somebody to show up and do one, if we even know what they are. You'd be blown away how many churches don't, and the majority of churches, the massive majority of the churches, are no longer teaching these principles. It's very rare for anybody to hear about the gifts of the Spirit or see the gifts of the Spirit in church. Now, in this church, they're normal. We see the word of knowledge flowing. We've heard prophecy in our church. We see healing, the gifts of healing. We've seen working of miracles in our church. We see the gifts of the Spirit moving in our church. But in the majority of churches, it's not normal. They don't show them on a Sunday morning because they don't want to offend anybody. I'm sorry. I think it's offensive to God if you don't allow God to show up. I'll just say that one more time because it felt so good. I think it's actually offensive to God when you don't let God show up on Sunday morning and show that he loves his people. Because of the gifts of the Spirit is God confirming his love to his people. It's encouraging, building, strengthening his people. It's showing that God is not just a natural book that we read out of. It's not about you and I going and doing a religious little thing that we do on a Sunday morning, but that literally God is supernatural, the anointing is real, and God does powerful things in our lives. Listen, you and I need the power of God more than we've ever needed the power of God before. There's more evil out there than has ever been before. The Bible says that in the last days, that evil will increase and the love of many will wax cold. Well, the love of many waxes cold. Why? Because their faith is built on something other than the supernatural. Paul said it this way. He said, I don't come to you with the excellency of speech, but I come to you with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that your faith will not be built upon the wisdom of man, but upon the power of God. Hold on, I'm going to sneeze. I feel better. So what happens is, if there's no power of God, what are they building their faith on? So, if your faith is not built on the supernatural, what does the Bible say your faith is built on? The wisdom of man. The problem with the wisdom of man is it works until hell starts licking your toes. When true demonic activity starts happening in your life, it doesn't work to say, I go to church. You have to know how to activate the name of Jesus. That's right. The devil goes to church. And in fact, this church is the devil won't even go to because he doesn't need to waste his time. We've got to make an understanding that our faith is not built upon the wisdom of man, but upon the power of God. So if the gifts of the Spirit are not evident in church, where's the power of God? So if there is no power of God, then where's your faith? Now, you cannot build your faith per se on supernatural. You'll find that anybody who tries to say that I got saved, yes, salvation, the supernatural is a signpost to your salvation. But you don't put your faith in the supernatural, in the nine gifts of the Spirit. You put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you've got to have the gifts of the Spirit. So there has to be a tenacity within your heart of saying, God, I want to lust after spiritual gifts. God, I want to be used in the supernatural gifts. One of my, I had a friend of mine who, still have a friend of mine, and one day he was in an airport and he was going to go preach a revival. He got out of the airport, went to go rent his car. He went to go rent his car and he went up to the booth and the Holy Spirit said, tell her that I still love her. And he passed it off. And he went and got in his rental car. And his wife was already out there. And she said, what's wrong? And he says, I got to go back in. He got out of his car, walked up to her, and he says, I need to speak to you. She goes, sir, is everything okay with the car? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Everything's good with the car. But I need to speak to you over here. And he said, the Lord wants you to know that he loves you and that he misses you. She dropped to her knees in the middle of the car rental place and started crying out loud. Why? Because she was backslidden, living with her boyfriend. And she wanted to get back with God, but felt God would not accept her back. At that word, her and her boyfriend came to the services that night, and they both got their hearts right with the Lord Jesus Christ. That was not building your faith upon the wisdom of man, but upon the power of God, because you couldn't deny what God was doing and what God was saying. So the supernatural is important. And I'm not talking for the preacher. I'm not talking in church. I'm talking for you where the rubber meets the road every single day. I met with the mayor one day. And as I was going to meet with the mayor, I asked the Holy Spirit. I said, I need you to reveal something to me about this mayor, because I want them to know that you sent me. And the Holy Spirit said, they're ill. And so at the end of my time talking with that individual, I looked and I said, can I pray with you? And they said, yes. And I said, let me pray out loud. So I started to pray. I said, Lord, I'm praying for this sickness that this individual has in their body that they have not even told their spouse. And I'm asking in the name of Jesus, and their eyeballs went boom and stopped me and said, how do you know that? How do you know I'm sick, and how do you know I haven't told my spouse? I said, well, the Holy Spirit told me. From that day on, there was nobody else that could pray with that mayor but me. They weren't born again, and I was able, in fact, they have been here at least 6 to 7 times. And if someone's going to pray with them, I've got to pray with them. Why? Because they know the God I serve, because of the supernatural power of God, is real and not some religious, fictitious cartoon that they worship on a Sunday morning painted on a wall. You and I, every one of us, are around people all day long. And God wants to use you in these gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's why he's saying you got to lust after them. You've got to want them, because God needs you to be used in them to help other people know that he is alive and real and not religion. But what the church has done is we're not teaching the people of God. And because we're not teaching the people of God, they have no expectation, never mind lust. They don't even have expectation that God is going to use their life, never mind that the supernatural is actually active for today. But as the body of Christ, God is raising up in these last days a group of people, men and women of God, it's called the remnant of God, that are going to be people that are going to be bold in the Holy Ghost. They're going to know how to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're going to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They're going to cast out devils. They're going to move in the power of the Holy Ghost to a place that people are going to see that God is alive and not dead. I walked into another government official, and this person is pretty vile. I mean, I know they're vile. Really vile. And I walked in and I said, I need to know. Holy Spirit, I need to be able to pray with them and tell them what you're telling me, what I can't know. And the Holy Spirit told me about a project that they had for about 15 years. And they really believed in it, but they actually gave up the project because it didn't look like it was going to happen. And that if they would hold on, God would make it happen to prove that he was real so they would repent. So I'm sitting there and I simply said, you know, I don't know if this is, you know, this is just what I really feel God telling me. And I said the whole thing and he went, you want to know about it? I said, sure. And he told me about the whole project. Couldn't deny God's real. Still stayed vile. He vile. Stayed vile. But when he stands before God, he'll not be able to deny the power of God. Because there's no way for me to know what was going on, because even his inner circle didn't know. It was a secret thing. That is not for me. That is for us. If you're a believer, say amen. If you're not, say, oh my. Okay, we're in good shape. So if you are a believer, what that means is God wants to use you in all 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit to encourage, build, strengthen people around you. You are the one that God has chosen. He is putting a lust in your heart through this class, even while you're sitting here right now, while you're watching by live stream. What you don't even realize is because you're sitting under the Word of God, impartation is being released, and there's going to be a desire in your heart to want to start moving in the gifts of the Spirit. I would encourage you to go home and watch some YouTubes on A.A. Allen. A.A. Allen. I would encourage you to watch some of the old Oral Roberts 1950s YouTubes. I would encourage you to watch some of these old miracles, William Branham. These are names of the 1950s, R.W. Shambach. All these are on YouTube. And what's interesting is able to watch the gifts of the Holy Spirit, watch how the miraculous is being released, and know this, the same God that's in them is the same God in me. And God wants to use me in the same way. But God cannot use you if you don't desire them. If there's no desire, they're there, but you'll never draw from them. It's just like you are a well. Anybody here ever been thirsty before? Like you worked out, man, you're just, wow, it's 947 degrees with 1,000% humidity, and you are just so parched, to get a glass of water would be the best, most exciting moment of your life. You don't even want a Pepsi. You need water. And there it is, but you never take it. That's where it is with most believers. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Not just will you perish for lack of knowledge, but other people are going to perish because of your lack of knowledge. So there's a need for us to know that God wants to use you, not just use you. He wants you to lust after these gifts because he wants you to be so hungering for them that he will start activating them in your life. So again, here we go. Knowledge gifts. Ready? The word of, discerning of, word of, word of, discerning of, discerning of, word of, word of, word of, word of, discerning of. We're going to get them in you. Then you have your power gifts. You ready? The gifts of healing, the working of miracles, and the gift of faith. So let's start with the gift of faith, right? Shout, gift of faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles. Gift of faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles. Word of, discerning of, gifts of. Phew, we're almost there. I'm sorry. Here we go. Ready? Remember. Gift of faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles. Now, we're going to break them all down, but I want to get them in your spirit. Ready? Gift of? We're close. Gift of? Gifts of? Working of? Gift of? Gifts of? Working of? Gift of? Gifts of? Working of? Word of? Word of? Word of? Discerning of? Word of? Word of, discerning of, gifts of, working of, gift of. Ooh, you guys are good now. Then you have your three verbal gifts, okay? I know. Here we go. Say tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of, discerning of, gift of, gifts of, working of, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and working of miracles. Come on now, give yourself a hand clap now. Word of. Stay with the program now. Word of, discerning of, gifts of. That's right. Now you see, now what's good is that you're catching that. Because I'm saying gifts of, because I was saying gift of. If it's gift of, it's faith. Gifts of, working of, tongues, interpretation of, and prophecy. Okay? So these nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are so important. You need to not only know them, and that's why I'm drilling right now. I'm doing some drilling now. You're going to be all right. Turn to somebody and say, I'm going to be okay. This is drilling it in now. Well, I don't have a good memory. Who lied to you? Don't you let anybody lie to you. You have the mind of Christ. Amen? You have the mind of Christ. Don't you ever let anybody tell you, well, I don't memorize like I used to. I don't remember like I used to. Tell them to be quiet. And that means even yourself. Amen? I had a woman who actually, she was diagnosed, and this was in the early days, with mental illness. And they actually, they did shock therapy. I don't know if you've heard of that. But they electrocute you. And they electrocuted her so badly that it wiped her memory. Like, she could not read a recipe. She could read it. She would never remember it. they shocked her brain so badly. And she came to me one night in rock solid faith. Back then it was called catechism. Down in the ugly green room down at the building down the road. Come on now, Polly. You remember the ugly green room. And she came to me and she said, I just can't remember, Pastor. Honestly, I can't read the Bible because, I'm reading and I'm not comprehending anything. I'm not able to put anything together. I said, well, you have the mind of Christ. I laid hands on her. I said, don't you ever say that again. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command your memory to be perfect from this night on. She went home that night, took out a recipe book, and made all the recipes. She grabbed her Bible, and from that day forward, she was able to read her Bible. Don't tell me. Listen, you got to stop speaking death to your life. Amen. You got to stop agreeing with what everybody's saying. Well, you know, when you get older, that's just the way it is. Who said it's the way it is? You know, this is the Word of God. And you have the Holy Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit? He's God. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet. Come on. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet. Where does he live? Inside of you, for goodness sakes. There's nothing impossible if you believe. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in your mortal body, and he shall quicken you by that same Spirit. See, we're not religious here. This is the truth, and the truth makes you free, not religion. So when you start understanding who you are in Christ, the who you are, you walk different, you talk different, you live different, you declare different. Why? Because you know if you speak it, the authority is being released. How many of you are watching the Authority of the Believer videos that my wife and I are doing on Monday nights at 7? Woo, come on now. You need to be watching that. And if you want to rewatch it, you need to go on Empowering Pastors or on the Michael Spencer or Dr. Spencer, Dr. Michael Spencer, and you need to go back and watch them. We're keeping them about 35, 40 minutes. I think last night was 50, but it was a longer chapter. It's called The Believer's Authority. And so you need to watch them. You need to know your authority in Christ. And it goes right along with these nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Word of, discerning of, word of, word of, word, I'm sorry, discerning of, gift of, gifts of, working of, come on, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Nine gifts of the Spirit. You need to know them because the authority that you and I have to act within them, why do we have the authority to act within them? Because Jesus Christ has given us the baton that he had while he was here on earth, and he said, greater work shall you do. He said, what you've seen me do, you do. Well, how can we do them? Because the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and there's nothing we can't accomplish. God has us here as ambassadors. What's an ambassador? It is a representation from another country to stand in presence and say, I am here. I have diplomatic immunity. Glory to God. Diplomatic immunity. And when I speak, my nation speaks. See, that's the difference between religion and true Christianity, true sons and daughters of God. You don't walk around with a religion in your pouch. You walk around with God in your heart. You walk around as who you are. As a son and daughter, you walk around as who you are. As the ambassador, you walk around in that authority of heaven so that when you speak, heaven backs you up. When you understand that, then these gifts of the Spirit make sense because the supernatural is normal. These are part of your language. This is part of your culture. It's heaven's culture. So when we extract these from the body of Christ, what we're actually doing is taking part of the culture of heaven away from the body of Christ. And so we're not walking normal. We're walking with a limp. We're walking that we are not able to run the way we need to run. I hate this thing. Feels like it keeps coming off. I'm going to pin it to my head. So as a believer, you've got to have this mind change. This mind change is a transforming of Romans chapter 12. The Word of God needs to transform us from being today's Christians to who we really are, and that is sons and daughters of the Most High. And because God is supernatural, not natural, then as part of his family, we work as he works. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the... Come on, if you've seen me, you've seen the... Come on, if you've seen me, you've seen the... If they see you, they see... What did Jesus do? He moved in these nine gifts. There's two things you cannot separate in the book of Acts. You cannot separate the message and the power. Wherever you saw the message in the book of Acts, you always saw the nine gifts of the Spirit. And wherever you saw the nine gifts of the Spirit, you always saw the message. They're inseparable. In our church world today, we've made it so that they're separate. Well, we see the gifts of the Spirit at church. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll wait for Brother Ted to come. We can see the supernatural. It's a problem. Because you can't separate the message and the power. And that's, remember, Paul said, I don't come to you with the excellency of speech, but with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that your faith will not be built upon the wisdom of man, but upon the power of God. Listen, this is where you and I need to lust after these spiritual gifts, because God wants to use you to change other people's lives. But if it's just a message, well, yeah, I know, that's your Christian stuff. But if you walk up to them and say, you know what, the Lord showed me last night that when you went to bed, you had a horrible dream. I want you to know that God loves you and he can deliver you. And, you know, he wants to come into your life. How'd you know that? Word of. We'll show that to you. Well, I'll describe each one of these, break them all down so you know exactly how they work through me, and how they could work through you. God does work differently. That's why he calls it diversities. They're the diversities of gifts. These gifts are the gifts, but they're worked differently in each one of us. That's the cool part, is learning through relationship how God wants to use you. I love walking up to somebody. It's just so much fun. I love walking up to somebody, and you just know what's going on, because the Holy Spirit reveals it through the word of knowledge. We'll explain that. That is a bit of information that you personally could not know of anybody, about somebody, of their past and or their present. Not their future, but past and or present. So you walk up to them and tell them, this is what's been going on in your life. I remember in the baptismal tank, this last time we were baptizing, the Holy Spirit showed me this individual that had been abused, beaten down by a parent, and then was in a relationship with a man that also beat them. And I saw it. I saw it in my spirit. And I said to that individual, I said, this is what you've been going through, and what's going to happen in the baptismal tank is you're going to leave that under the water, and God's going to make you new. Amen. She's just bawling. Oh, I'm sorry. They were just bawling. I tried to keep it as separate as possible. They were just bawling. Why? Well, because I couldn't have known that. And listen, if you've had anybody guess before, it don't work. But when they know because God shows them, when you know because God shows you, you walk into work. And then they're talking about a deal. And you look at them and you say, you know, you can't say, the Holy Ghost said to me. But you say, you know, I just don't feel this is going to work. I don't really have an answer for you, but I want you to know that we probably shouldn't do this deal. But it looks good. It smells good. Everything works together for good, as it would seem to them. And all of a sudden, they make the dive, and it fails miserably. And they come up to you and say, how did you know that? So all of a sudden, now they're going to start coming to you when it's time to make a deal. What do you think? I think I need to go pray. I'll go pray. I'll let you know. Prayer? You mean that's the spiritual stuff? Oh, yeah. God knows your future, man. We have inside trading. As a believer, this is who you are. Turn to someone and say, this is who I am. Turn to someone and say, I'm a person of the supernatural. Now, the purpose of the gifts are important, because there are a lot of people that twist the reason for the gifts of the Spirit. Now, there are people that use the gifts of the Holy Spirit for their own personal gain. There are people that do that. But I want you to realize you cannot throw the baby out with the bathwater. How many of you know people do stupid things? Amen. Amen. Does anybody drive in the room? You drive a long way. You drive. Have you ever seen somebody do a stupid thing in their car? Did you stop driving cars? Oh. Mess with my discount. You ever see somebody do something stupid in a supermarket? Do you still go? Isn't it amazing? Well, I saw this happen in church. I just can't go there anymore. Interesting, isn't it? But what happens is this, is the devil's trying to disembark you from your purpose and your call. And when you start understanding that, listen, I go to church and there are a bunch of interesting people at church. Say amen or oh my. Especially that preacher, he's just interesting. He's something. Sometimes I'm not sure what it is, and my wife will tell you sometimes she's not sure what it is. But we're all unique. But this is where you buckle down and you stop allowing the enemy to generate excuses in your life that will disembark you from what? From moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and taking on offense. So here as believers, we've got to know what the gifts are for. What are the gifts for? For the equipping, excuse me, let me say it this way, edifying, building, and strengthening the body of Christ. If that does not happen, then it is not God. When I was a kid, I was afraid of prophets because I was afraid they were going to come in and tell everybody every sin I ever did in front of everybody. I know people, when we have prophets in this church, they do not come to church for that reason. But a true prophet will never do that to somebody. Well, why? Well, are you edifying them? Well, no. Is it building them? No. Is it encouraging to them? No. Does it encourage the body? Well, no. God, these gifts, God said, are for these specific purposes. So when you see these not being manifested through those purposes, you've got to question what they're from. Now, there was a woman, Queenie was in the service, in, what town was that? Was that Ringe? No, that's, what? It was Jaffrey, the Assemblies of God Church. You do know, don't you? I was an evangelist then, and I was preaching at my aunt's church. And my uncle and I were sitting near the middle, and there was a woman sitting on the far side. And all of a sudden, the woman jumped up. She started shouting out in tongues. And then she gave the interpretation. The Lord would say, there is a man here in this church that you need to repent. And you need to repent because you are a thief. And you've done this wrong and that wrong and this wrong. Well, she was mad at my uncle. So she used the gifts of the Spirit to publicly try to embarrass him. Is that encouraging? Is that building? Is that strengthening? Was it God? No. I don't allow people to mess with other people like that, especially under the guise of God. God will always be building, strengthening, and will put you in that mode. Let me see. Oh, that was a good one. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. Oh, yeah. That was it. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I had to reorient myself. I was in Long Island. What's really cool is, in this same church, one night, a woman came up front, and she was born with a birth defect where her elbow was frozen. So, you know, she always walked like this, and she actually used to put a pen in her hand. And, of course, she could only drive like this. And I had a word of knowledge, which is a bit of information about someone's present or past that I could not have known about. Someone's shoulder was in absolute agony. It was their left shoulder, right shoulder, absolute agony in pain. And God was going to heal them if they would come up. Well, it got really quiet for a long time. Then all of a sudden, this woman said, I think it's me. So she came up front, and I laid hands on her shoulder, and God healed her shoulder. What it was is, because she used it all the time, it was really wounded. And God healed her right there. Boom. Took the pain away. She was so excited. And I looked at her and I says, you know, if God will heal your right shoulder, God will heal your arm. What's wrong with your arm? And she told me about her birth defect. And, you know, it's always been, I think she was in her 60s, always been that way. And, you know, she didn't even have faith towards that. I said, well, if God healed your shoulder, God will heal your arm. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command your arm to be healed in Jesus' name. Well, she walked out the same way she came in. We'll talk about the difference between a healing and a miracle when we get to that. The next night she came back to the services and she reached up and she shifted accidentally with her left arm. Freaked her out. She came into the church shouting and dancing, man spinning all over the place, so excited. Come on now, I'm talking, it was really cool. I mean, seeing both arms raise up, I mean, a miracle from a child. It was awesome. Man, so people are shouting. I'm talking like literally. People are shouting and dancing. They're dancing in front of the church. And man, the worship service was phenomenal. And a man stood up with a boisterous, thunderous voice. The Lord would say, thou shalt not dance but in the spirit. Thou art making God angry. He used this King James Version. Little did they know that he spoke Hebrew. And they went, he's back there rebuking. And this is what you felt. You felt the blanket go. Whew. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit says that you can grieve the Holy Spirit, which means makes the Holy Spirit sad and he'll leave. And all of a sudden, the presence of God left the room. And I looked at the pastor and says, you going to take care of that man or am I? He goes, why don't you? I said, sure. I'm the evangelist. I can get in trouble. He can't. I stood up and I said, sir, you need to shut up and sit down. You're out of order. That was not encouraging. That was not building. And that was not strengthening. That was not God. They weren't dancing in the flesh. You was talking in the flesh. All right, he left. And I said, now let's usher the Holy Ghost back into this room. We started worshiping again, dancing again, shouting again. And the presence of God just got so thick in the room. So I want you to realize that if it's not encouraging, strengthening, or building, it's not God. And there are people that do what we call parking lot prophecies. Let me give you a little hint on this one. We'll cover this a little bit later. Anybody comes up to you and says, I have a word for you. You look at them and say, really? Well, let's go get a pastor. They usually forget their word because they have a personal agenda in their life. And they want to be seen or say things that aren't God. Bible says judge prophecy. No one should be prophesying over you in this church without one of the pastors standing right next to you. I'm setting that as a rule. Somebody comes up, I have a word for you. Say, go get one of the pastors. If they don't want to get one of the pastors, they didn't have a word for you. They had manipulation for you. We don't do parking lot prophecies in this church. Amen. Boy, it got quiet, didn't it? So, let's talk about the gifts. Ready? Woohoo! We'll cover one. I know. You know, I know what the problem is. I have a word of knowledge. He's wearing that hat, and it's very confusing in life. Yankees, dear Lord.
Yeah!
Okay, word of... You're a little all slow, aren't you? Word of, discerning of, word of, discerning of, gift of, gifts of, working of, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Word of, discerning of. Word of, discerning of, gift of, gifts of, working of, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. Okay, you're getting them now. So let's cover the first one. The first one of the knowledge gifts is called the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is so cool. Now, I do want to qualify this, and that is that there are people in Satanism that also move in gifts. If you have ever been to a seance, if you have ever been to a fortune teller, If you have ever been to, what do they call them?
Mediums.
We have them in our town. We have one in the center of the town. Witch doctor. Told the witch doctor. Sorry, just came over me. A new one in Corning. There's one who actually calls himself a pastor just outside of town and actually has a church. He goes to all the local things and he puts on a show, charges you, and he moves in what we would call the word of knowledge. Now, I want to remind you that knowledge only comes from two directions, either from God or from Lucifer. So any kind of supernatural knowledge that is being released can only come from two supernatural beings. Either it comes from God or it comes from the devil. Anybody who is into seances, witchcraft, anybody into necromancing, anybody into Reiki, anybody into crystals, anybody into Ouija boards. We could go through the list of all the satanic things, you know, going to a medium and trying to reach your lost Uncle Larry, you know. And so you're calling up Uncle Larry's spirit. Well, I want you to know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord if you're born again. And if you're not born again, you go to hell. That ain't Uncle Larry. That's called a familiar spirit. That's an actual demon that's manifesting itself, taking on the very likeness of your Uncle Larry, talking like Uncle Larry, and has memories of Uncle Larry. How? Because a demon hung out with Uncle Larry his whole life. If you've ever been to a medium, you've ever been to a seance, you've ever been to those kind of things, you need to bind that in the name of Jesus and cast that influence out of your life. What you've done, especially if you've done a Ouija board, if you actually played the Ouija board, you actually allowed a demon to physically enter your body and to move through you. I knew a girl, I don't think you guys were at that one, Tina, that was demon possessed in Fitchburg. Did you go to that Fitchburg Methodist Church with us? Libby's?
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, man, that was freaky. So, but she came possessed by playing with a Ouija board. You actually allow a demon to enter you. So there are only two ways to get knowledge. So when we were in Newfield, Deb will remember this, we had the local, what do they call him? Psychic. There we go. We had the local psychic come to the fire hall in Newfield. So do you remember? Yeah, you remember. You remember that. And so I took like three of our guys, maybe four of our guys, and I said, let's go have fun. And so we stood outside in the parking lot while he was in there doing his thing. And what we did was our thing, because we know our God is more powerful than his God. So we stood out in there and we said, in the name of Jesus, you foul demon, we bind you from giving knowledge to this man. We command that he's not going to be able to draw from the supernatural in any way, shape, or form, and that people are just going to mock him. Out came Deb's old brother-in-law, who was a warlock, and he said, I just don't understand. I've been to all his stuff, and he's usually right on. He can't do nothing today. I know why. Come on now. Because our God is greater than their God. So all the psychics, all these people are working under demonic power. You need to know that. It's very important for you to know that. Because some of your friends are heading out to go to a psychic party. And what they're doing is they're opening themselves up to demons. Well, I want to remind you what the devil does. The devil always comes to counterfeit what God does. These are God's nine gifts. So the devil wants to counterfeit them. And in the last days, there'll be many miracles, many signs and wonders that Satan will do to deceive even the elect people. So you've got to draw a line in the sand and know what the word says about the demonic. You are never to be playing. Listen, I know people that sit back and they watch, you know, the TV shows where demon manifestations and everything like that. Listen, all you're doing is you're opening yourself up to that. Your eye gate. Your soulish man. You cannot allow those things in your life. You don't participate with demonic. You might think it's entertainment, but when you meet the real thing, It stops being entertainment. And the more you open yourself up to that, the more you're giving them liberty to come into that. One lady said to me, well, I'm sorry. I went to the psychic, and they were right on. I'm talking, they were right on. They told me things that nobody else could know. And I'm telling you, Pastor, they were right on. And I looked at them and I said, you are right. I think that shocked them. But it's true. How could they know? Because their information was coming from the diabolical world, Satan, from his people. And I want you to know that there's two distinct powers. God's power. You'll always see the psychic say this. Well, we just thank God for our gift. But what God? I'll tell you. Small g, not big G. They won't tell you that Jesus gave them the gifts. They'll say God gave them a gift. Small g. Because they're being used. And the gifts they are using are real. So when people say that stuff's real, they're right. That stuff is real. And there are many people. And why does the devil do that? Because if he can get you to go into a psychic, and they're right on, now who do you go to whenever you need wisdom? Who's their God? So who are you listening to? Oh, it's sneaky. The devil is not running around in a little red suit. He's a sly old fox. And he's been working with mankind for a long, long, long time. So don't get suckered in. Any psychic is always demonic. Now, if I let Deb loose in the back, which I'm not going to, because it's 8:03. But if I let Deb loose in the back, Deb grew up in the spiritualist camp in Freeville, where demons were normal. Manifestation of Native American demons were normal. Everybody had a spirit guide. In fact, I was going up, we were going to go rent a school in Ithaca, and it was a Montessori school, actually. And not all Montessori schools are the same, but I went to this one, and the principal told us we release a spirit guide to each one of the children, so they're guided by a spirit. I decided I'd have to clean the church every Sunday, and I'm not talking with Clorox. I'm talking I'd have to go in and clean out every demon from hell before every service, and it just wasn't worth that much work to rent the place. So know this. If it's not from Jesus Christ, it is a demonic spirit, and it will be supernatural. And a demon does know your past, and he does know your present. We will get into this later, but he doesn't know your future. Okay? Questions, 8:05. We won't even get into the gifts. We'll get into them next week. Questions? Demons cannot read your mind. Demons only know what you tell them. Don't tell them a lot. Some of you talk too much. Praying in tongues. Demons do not know what you're praying when you're praying in tongues. That's why it's a heavenly language. That's why the Bible says you pray in the tongues of men and of angels. There are times you'll be praying in tongues, and it will be an actual language on earth that some people will need to hear. They'll know that it's not you knowing their language, but supernaturally you're speaking it. Other times, most of the time, it's the tongue of angels, which is a heavenly language. Everyone in the room needs to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues. It's a major part of your prayer life and the ability to defeat the devil in your life. Any other questions? Wow, did I bore you tonight? Was it all right? Yeah. Was it okay to let the young guy go for a little bit?
Sure.
No more questions? Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. The Montessori School in Big Flats is good. We have actually some of our people from here are the teachers there, and they actually bring God into things. So, you know, it is different. It's not all Montessori's. That's why I didn't want to say the name, but, I mean, it wouldn't have made sense if I didn't. Not all Montessori schools are the same. It depends on the principal, okay? So let's don't log them in the same loaf. Okay? Praise the Lord. Don't want to remind you to be givers. We just got, we're going to be announcing this in church. We just got a great bid on fixing our driveway. Last year's bid was $125,000, and this year it's $25,000. And we need it done before winter. If we don't get it done before winter, it's going to cost us probably $150,000 next year because it's disintegrating. It needs to be fixed. Isn't that cool? We're also in the process of getting the bid for the front. Everywhere you see that has concrete out front, we're going to be blocking that in as a, if you've been here in the winter, you know what I'm talking about. That foyer is so cold, you can hardly stand in there. We're going to put a wind block in, and we're going to have it all windows. It's going to be just beautiful, and it'll be a three season for us. And that way the wind will be blocked so that no one has to be cold in the foyer any longer, and you can fellowship longer. Amen? So those are the two projects we're going to do this winter or this whole late fall. So I want you to start just praying what the Holy Spirit will have you sow into that specifically. Amen? Father, we love you. Thank you for your gifts. Thank you for Lord, using our lives. Now, God, as next week we start really unfolding each one of these gifts, I pray that we will start lusting after them. I pray you will drive us with a hunger for them. Lord, especially that we may prophesy according to your word in 1 Corinthians 14:1. I pray, Jesus, that you will use us in a supernatural manner, Lord, in this real world to prove that you are alive and well and that, God, you love people. Use our lives, Jesus. We want to see great harvest come from us. Lord, we want to see our rows filled, Lord, because of people that have come to know you through our ministry in this church as individuals and corporately. We honor you. We love you, we thank you, and we glorify you. Bless the offering and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. I do want to give a quick testimony. You know, when we did the campuses, we did two in 1 year, which is like really not the greatest of wisdom. We sent out about 80 people. So our average was right near 800 a week here in the home church. And we sent out just a ton of folk. And we've dropped down to about 675 a week. And, 675 a week. This last week, 775 people in-house. Glory to God. And then, ready, 177 people in Ithaca. And Pastor Dan had 90 souls down in Mansfield. Isn't that phenomenal? Our church in Canada, last year at about this time, they were running 30. Sunday, they had 101 people and 12 people born again this last weekend. Isn't that awesome? God is so good. Amen. I love you. I do believe we have books. If you want a book, they're here available for you. The young man will take care of you. I don't know. It's on the back. I think it's $12.99. Is it $13.99? I don't know. I just work here.
I paid $13.
You paid $13? Yeah, it's $13. Yeah.